Genesis, the first book of the Holy Scripture, chapter 15. Let us read first 10 verses. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all those, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. This was the reading that I desire to read today for the morning devotions and sharing of the scripture. And now shall we take a moment to turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, when the multitudes of thy blessings are blending together as a river of grace to soak our hearts with thy presence and to elevate our souls to the pretaste of the heavenly glory, Lord God Almighty, it seems that everything in heaven and in earth is magnifying thy goodness and grace. Lord God Almighty, may the gentle and mighty power of thy saving grace be like the springtime sun rays that melt the snow, that the last hard shell of our hearts may be melted and broken, and though brokenhearted that we may, O Heavenly Father, blend together with all the redeemed ones, to praise the goodness and might of thy holy name, to praise thy goodness and grace and the mercy, O Heavenly Father, that lifted us up from death and darkness into the new life in Christ and into the light of thy truth, O Lord God Almighty. We thank thee for that sacrifice that fulfilled the expectations of all the sacrifices of the faithful. We thank and we praise thee, O Heavenly Father, for the redemption in Christ. Gracious Lord Almighty God, as we look into the journey of our father Abraham, as we look into the gift of grace that thou hast given him to believe thy holy word, and as we see the weakness of the flesh and the need of human soul to have a shepherd to guide, a protector to lean on, and the arms of goodness and grace to rest assured, O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, the name of Christ is the only name, and the offering of the Lamb of God is sufficient for all the needs of our soul's salvation. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, as Thou hast blessed our father Abraham, and the gift of faith that Thou hast imparted to him, Thou hast accepted from him as Thy righteousness bestowed upon him. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that today again, in these last days, Thou wouldst give to us the deep peace of Thy forgiveness and the flourishing joy of Thy salvation, not based on our ever-changing feelings, nor on our accomplishments that are always short of Thy high standards of holiness. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, but that our righteousness and our assurance be firmly relying on Thy goodness and mercy, Thy redemption in Christ, Thy sustainment in Thy Holy Spirit, Thy abiding grace, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, that it may overwhelm our heart and mind, and that we give our all to Thee, and that we always strive to be faithful and to rejoice in Thy goodness and mercy. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee for that promised seed to our father Abraham. And though, O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, though the multitudes of Israel were like the sand on the seashore, the remnant shall be saved. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, give us grace to trust and to believe in the prophecies of old. Give us grace and power, O Heavenly Father, with a wide open heart and mind to receive the wisdom of that mystery revealed in Christ that the angels of heaven desire to look into and the prophets desire to understand fully, and yet Thou art revealing the miracle of Thy goodness and grace to us so we can smile. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy wonderful, glorious love. That love that has been manifested so clearly, so brightly in dark hours on Golgotha. We thank Thee, O Heavenly Father, for that fountain of blood washing our sins away continually. We praise Thee, Lord, for that goodness and grace receiving us just as we are. And just as we are, O Lord, we come unto Thee, knowing that Thou art faithful and true, and wilt never cast out anyone that come unto Thee. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we do come unto Thee, not with our own strength nor power, but by the might of Thy Holy Spirit, O Lord, to acknowledge before Thee Thou hast brought us thus far. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we pray for grace and power to continue in Thy goodness and grace, and to trust as Thou hast brought us thus far, that Thou wilt continue to carry us in Thy goodness and grace as a gentle, loving mother, the newborn child, as the wings of an eagle stretched wide and soaring upon the breeze, that our souls, O Heavenly Father, may soar up above the dust and ashes of the vanity and pride, and that we, with a humble heart, may walk on the path of glory that leads to that kingdom of glory and majesty of Thy holy name. That our desire and unbearable to worship thee and to worship thee continually in everything, every situation, every place and time. And O Heavenly Father, to come back again and again to the fountain of blood as to the fountain of life and love. For thou art God and there is none other. Glory and majesty is thine, worship and praise, power and honor. O Lord God Almighty, rule thou in our hearts and be thou our Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus our Lord and Savior. Amen. The word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, and the word of the Lord was, fear not, Abram. I, thy shield, thy exceeding great reward. That Hebrew language is so dynamic, so wonderful. They don't use many words in an important moment, just the few words. In English we say, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. But the Lord said to Abram, I thy shield, thy exceeding great reward. We also have similar things, similar expressions in English language and many other languages. When you look at a structure building in flames, we don't say smoke, fire, on the left hand side and so much on the right hand side. No, we just say fire and everybody knows what is going on. You see, when the Lord appeared to Abram, it was not a danger or disaster. We have those words for disasters, for dangers. When we are on a highway and we say crash, we know what it means. We don't need a lot of description. But if you want to describe that the traffic is just flowing beautifully and everything is in order, it looks like a beautiful harmony and the highways look like the blood circulation system of this country, and you, especially in the dusk or at night, you can see the red blood cells ahead of you and the white blood cells coming from the other side, and it looks like this country is alive. We need a lot of words to describe something beautiful, but the Lord did not. When he appeared to Abram in this vision, he said, fear not, Abram. I, thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Did Abram understand that? I would think that he did understand something, that he did grasp some of the joy of being rewarded by the Lord himself, having the Lord as his reward. And yet Abram said to the Lord, Lord God, what will thou give me? What is that reward? Seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house, this Eliezer of Damascus, a stranger. A stranger in the sense of not being of Abram's family. And yet, he was born in the household of Abram. He was a faithful servant. He was almost like a son. But he was trained. He was raised to be a servant. For that he was since his birth. It was not a child, a seed of the promise of God. And Abram felt some deficiency in that. And I think we all would. The best friend, the closest person, is not as close and as dear as the child to the parents. There is a tie. There is a relationship that is being revealed in the nature of the closeness of parents and children. As if the Lord has given us something that someday we might understand how much our Creator sacrificed for us, sending His only begotten Son to redeem us. But Abram was looking around, and so many idolatrous people, so many that knew nothing about the true God, the possessor of heaven and earth, had many children, big families. And he, Abram, the worshipper of the true God, the man that has built so many altars already, monuments to the honor and glory of the Almighty God, Abram had no child. And he was old. It's not an easy thing to believe against all odds, against all the apparent facts around us that are radiating, giving us a message contrary to our hope and expectation. And Abram said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, thou hast given me no seed. And look, one born in my house is mine heir." Did Abram understand something of God's goodness and grace, something of the beauty and abundance of the word of God that said, "I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward"? Abram must have understood at least so much that he felt free to tell the Lord his anxiety. "Look, Lord, what reward I have here in this life? I have no children. And all that I enjoyed in my life is losing its taste and value. Soon I will depart from the face of this earth, leaving nothing behind, only servants born in my household." But behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." Why was it told Abram, that there is an heir coming out of Abram's bowels? Of his seed, there will be an heir. Perhaps, I don't know. Perhaps that Abram was on the way of doing something formally to transfer the leadership and the rulership of his household to this Eliezer of Damascus, the servant born in Abram's household. Perhaps. It's a speculation of mine. Maybe there was something. But one thing I am sure about, that Abram needed some encouragement. He needed some help, something to lift him up out of that melancholy, out of that loneliness. "Look, I'm old. I can see that my hands and my body and the skin on my body is aging. My hair, my beard, everything is different. And the strength of my bones is decreasing. and yet I have no child. And the Lord took Abram abroad, outside, and said to Abram, Abram, look now toward heaven and tell the stars. It was necessary for Abram to look up toward heaven to see the stars, right? When we look up to heaven, we see many stars, and the star of Bethlehem, brighter and more beautiful than all the others. And the Lord said to Abram, can you tell the number of the stars? And then the Lord said to Abram, so shall thy seed be. But Lord, I'm old. Lord, I have not one child. And the Lord said, look up to heaven, see the stars. This is the promise of mine. And the verse number 6 is one of the wonderful verses. Like on that sixth day of creation. Was it the sixth day when God created the man? I think so. We can check and see. But here, incidentally, verse number 6 says, Abram believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted that faith to Abram for righteousness. Now, what is the righteousness? And what kind of faith is that? The Lord said to Abram, look up to heaven. Abram did. Do you see the stars? Abram did. Can you tell the number? He could not. And the Lord said, so shall thy seed be. And Abram believed in the Lord. And that was counted to Abram for righteousness. Now, we can find that in the epistles, much more about Abram and his faith and that righteousness that the Lord has imputed into Abram. Let's stop and think for a moment. If there was some righteousness, whose righteousness was that? In the epistle we read that it was imputed to Abram. Suppose that I wanted to get aboard a ship and I had no money to pay to get in. And somebody else paid for me and I was accepted to go on my journey. I had the right, like the other passengers that paid for themselves. So the right to be a passenger in full meaning of that word was imputed to me. It was not my money. Somebody else paid for me. Just an example to make some application. The faith that Abram exercised, where did that come from? It came from the Lord. The righteousness that was imputed to Abram for that faith, where did that come from? From the Lord. What happened to Abram from that moment on? He was a man that belonged to the Lord. A man of God. And then, the Lord said, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. The Lord is reminding Abram what the Lord has told Abram so long ago. The Lord is reminding Abram, I have brought thee so far. Now look back and think. Were you able to do it in your own strength? could all of that have happened if it was not but for my will and my help and my provisions? Now look at verse number 6 again. Abram believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted that to Abram for righteousness. Look at number 8. And Abram said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Now is this question of faith? Or insecurity? Or testing? Now we know that Abram is an example to us, that we should be as faithful as Abram was. Is he also an example to us that we should not doubt and fear as he did? He is also an example to us of God's goodness and grace when we do fear, when we have our doubts, that we know to whom to turn to and find refuge and defense. Abram asked the Lord, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And what did the Lord answer? Abram, I'm going to give you a great sense of joy and peace and rejoicing. No, not yet. Not yet. The Lord said to Abram, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And Abram did so. Is this the answer? How shall Abram know that he or his seed shall inherit this land? The Lord said, you will know that you are in my mercy and grace, that you are in my covenant, that you are in my promises, that I am going to take care of you. You will know that by the sacrifices that you offer to me when you offer what I ask from you. Isn't that amazing? Was this a covenant of works or a covenant of promised grace and mercy? It was a covenant of God's goodness and grace. How was that grace received, experienced, practiced day by day? By offering to the Lord all that he asked from us. And so Abram did that. Now when we read through the books that follow, like Leviticus, perhaps even Exodus, but more about that in Leviticus and Numbers, and I think some of that we can find in Deuteronomy, and that is the law of sacrifices and the ways of offering to the Lord and receiving purification, receiving forgiveness, receiving restoration, renewal of God's goodness and mercy, coming back to the Lord after ignorantly or knowingly turning aside from the Lord for a moment. And when we read about those sacrifices and we reflect back on the sacrifice that Abram offered to the Lord, we will find out that Abram offered a sacrifice that included all the sacrifices that the children of Israel have ever offered after. We will find out that this sacrifice included offerings of the wealthy and of the poor. the man and of the woman, the childless and the mother after the delivery of a child. We will find that this offering included offerings for the princes, for the priests, for the prophets, for the kings. Everything was included here. And so the faith that our father Abraham received from the Lord was the faith of all those that followed in the steps of the faithfulness of our father Abraham. And the righteousness that the Lord imputed unto our father Abraham has been imputed to all of those that believe and trust in his seed, the promised seed, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. Pondering on that, we receive the depth of peace and the brightness of his joy. So Abram did, and he offered. He offered all of these sacrifices as one sacrifice. And he offered the sacrifices in the way that we find later on commanded in the law, way before Abram had the law of God on the stone plates and on the scrolls and in any other way. Already, the instruction of the Lord was inscribed on the plates of Abram's heart. So, we see that he offered a sacrifice, and the sacrifice is ready to be offered to the Lord. Everything is in place, and the fowls, the birds from the air came down upon the carcasses, upon the sacrifice of Abram, and Abram drove them away. You see, when we offer up our life and living to the Lord, there are other powers and forces on this earth that would like to chip off, to pollute our offering, to take away from our offering. And we have the privilege and the honor, and in this world, the humility of defending our offering, that it will be offered to the Lord alone, and not to allow our offering to be shared between the Lord and the unclean abominations of this world. And so, Abram is running around and he's chasing the birds away and defending his offering, and the sun was going down. Abram was physically tired and he fell asleep. He could not resist it. And look what happened. And horror and great darkness fell upon him. This is a man that grew up out in the nature. He knows how to move around and what to do and what not to do in thick darkness. And yet, as he was offering that sacrifice, and he fell asleep in a deep sleep, he experienced a horror and great darkness that came upon him. And the Lord said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and that strange nation shall afflict them 400 years. There was a fear in Abram's heart, an anxiety in his mind. What is going to happen? He is one alone. The Lord has promised to multiply his seed, but Abram is old. And even if the Lord will give him a beginning, what is going to happen to a small family among the mighty idolatrous nations around them? And the Lord did not say to Abram, nothing bad will happen. I will protect them from any difficulty, from any inconvenience, any suffering. No, the Lord didn't say that. Just as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did not say to his disciples, you will have no problem in this world. I'm going to be with you and you will have no problem. Everything will be smooth. No, he didn't say. He said, in the world, you will have tribulation. But fear not. I have overcome the world. So the Lord is talking to Abram. In Abram's fear and anxiety, yes, there will be difficult times. Thy people, thy nation will suffer a lot. 400 years they will suffer. But that nation that will abuse thy people, that nation I will judge. And afterward, when the time and amount of their suffering is fulfilled, they will come out with great substance. So the wealth of the people of God is accumulated through suffering. And not through our own power, but through the Lord's control over the circumstances and protection over his own. Remember what we read about Joseph? How the Lord was with him, and Joseph was almost murdered by his brothers, and the Lord was with him, and Joseph was sold to be a slave, and the Lord was with him, and Joseph, as a slave, was accused and abused and cast into prison, and the Lord was with him, and the years passed by, and the Lord was with him, and finally, after many years of suffering, Joseph became the deliverer of his people and of all the empire of Egypt, because the Lord was with him. Through the suffering and tribulation, by the grace of God, God's people are enriched. And they experience the fullness of God's goodness and grace. And then the Lord said to Abram, thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. I did not study the word generation. But here we have some suggestion, at least some idea, that the Lord said 400 years the people of Abram will be in Egypt, and in the fourth generation they will come back to this land. But perhaps something more interesting is that the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. The Lord is waiting for sinful, idolatrous, rebellious, godless people, abominable, polluted people. He's going to wait 400 years for them. And longer than 400 years, giving them time to turn to the Lord from their iniquities. And they will not. But they will fulfill the number, the amount, the level of their iniquities before the sign of God's displeasure, his wrath, and his judgment come upon them. And it came to pass then that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between those pieces. As quite a few times in the scripture, we don't have very many details, but to me this gives an impression. Apparently, Abram did prepare the sacrifice, and Abram did defend the sacrifice, but the Lord sent the fire to burn the sacrifice. A testimony to Abram that the sacrifice is accepted because Abram did exactly what the Lord commanded him to do. And we see the furnace. That quickly reminds me of the three men in the fiery furnace, their testimony, God's protection in the midst of fire, and God's very presence amongst them. Such a wonderful, abundant testimony. But then let's think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the fiery furnace of our judgment for our redemption. And then we think that the Word of God might be like a lamp that is around and between our offerings, that is filling our heart and mind and our daily walk, so that our offering would be burning to the Lord until this body turned to dust and ashes and our soul be free to join the bridegroom of our soul. So, we read further. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. See, before it was, I shall give it. Now, in the covenant of the Lord, I have given this land to thee and to thy seed, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river of Euphrates. And then we read the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, Rephaims, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites and Jebusites, 10 nations, 10 kingdoms will be judged and destroyed, that the land of the promise become the land of inheritance to the seed of Abraham. But that's not all. Not only 10 nations, not only 10 kingdoms, but rather the whole earth was shaking, and the bars of hell were broken, and the chains of our slavery torn apart when our Lord and Savior suffered the fiery furnace that no one else can suffer on our behalf. And when He fulfilled the will of the Father, we are free. Free in Christ. Free to serve Him. Free to resist and reject the vanity and pollution of the world. Free to deny our own needs in the flesh, even food and drink, and raiment and shelter, just to follow the Lord, because He become all in all to all those that believe. I think that this chapter 15 is rather a wonderful, glorious chapter. And I think about the fulfillment of the offering and the fulfillment of the covenant. You see, the Lord made the covenant with Abram. And then many centuries after, the seed of Abram came. And in that same land, geographically, physically the same land, but spiritually the same sphere, in the promises of God, in the covenant of God. The seed of Abraham came and proclaimed the word of God in the streets of Jerusalem, in the portals of the temple, in the cities and towns of Judea and Galilee, in Samaria. And then, finally, as I mentioned, on the cross, the judgment of God came with an awful power and heaviness beyond description upon him that was perfectly without blemish, a perfect sacrifice to satisfy the divine justice of the Almighty and to redeem us from the judgment that we, the fallen human race, have deserved. At that time, the earth was shaking, and the rocks were breaking, and the tombs did get open. Because by his own death, he prevailed against our death. And he opened the life everlasting for all those that believe. Well, the disciples at that moment were scattered, were afraid, were astonished that the mighty Messiah suffered so meekly, suffered such an awful punishment. But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, waiting for the promise of the Father, which was the promise of the Son. As suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set or descended upon each one of them, one of those flames. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, here we see not ten nations and ten kingdoms destroyed physically, militarily, in violence, but we see the gentle and mighty power of the Spirit of God proclaiming the gospel of God in many languages, and the whole kingdom of Satan is crumbling down. Everyone that believes in Christ is free, and free forever. Amen.